Hello and welcome to the University Guide podcast. I'm David Hawkins. When we talk about applying to particular countries, we tend to focus on generalities about that university system. One of the lovely things about doing this podcast is the ability to dive into complexity. And one of the areas where many international students will look to come to the UK to study is in the field of the creative subjects. In today's episode, we're delving into the world of UK art schools. And my guest today works in recruitment for one of my favourite UK art schools. It's a really great interview, and I hope you really find it very useful for you or for your students. So we're now going to delve into this topic, and we've got a guest on the line who not only represents a wonderful university, but also one of my favourite cities in the entire United Kingdom. So Rhian, thank you so much for giving up your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Great. Do you mind introducing yourself and the university that you represent?
Yeah, of course. So my name's Rhian John. I'm the International Officer at Norwich University of the Arts. We are a kind of small specialist university based in the east of England, in the lovely city of Norwich. And we offer kind of undergraduate, both Bachelor of Arts and Bachelor of Science courses, as well as some MA courses as well. And we are a specialist university. So what that means is people get very kind of hands-on specialist training with specialist kind of academic staff, and really gives them kind of hands-on experience of working within an industry related to creative art, media, design, and architecture.
Fantastic, and very high quality, and in a city that's got a great art scene as well, which is something a lot of international advisors might not be well aware of.
Yeah.
For sort of the people who listen to the podcast who tend to be counsellors in schools around the world, they might be looking at art schools in the UK, and there's possibly one or two that they might be quite familiar with. But what are the advantages for their students to look at these, you know, specialist institutions in parts of the UK that might not have the same brand recognition as, say, you know, London or Glasgow or somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we try to do, as I said before, is it's all about specialists teaching. And so we're really fortunate to be able to offer really great facilities within our campus. We have a city centre campus, so we have about 10 buildings, all kind of very close together, hosting specialist kind of facilities for, you know, from film studios to kind of screen printing, facilities for people to do sculpture, and, you know, all kinds of things. And it's really a wonderful space for people to be able to create. I think the value of, you know, going to a city like Norwich compared to, you know, somewhere like London, for example, is I hear from students that what they get is the space and the time to be able to create. We, you know, have a very creative community, so the opportunities for collaborating with each other. Having that kind of smaller city sense means that, yeah, opportunities for collaboration, it kind of being very immersed within the scene of you know, of that creative community, really. The other advantages obviously are I guess cost as well, which is obviously going to play a part for students. You know, they have a better cost of living than other places in major cities in the UK or in the US, for example. But still kind of close links with industry. We have lots of companies set up here, and we do find that people, when they graduate, we have opportunities for students to set up their own businesses, and things that they may not be able to do in very expensive cities. You know, they can try things out. They can work with their peers that they've made during their time at university, and kind of just use that as a catalyst to kind of go on and see how their business can be set up with the help from, you know, from the university, and then go from there, really. And we found that that's been really beneficial to students. So it's definitely worth students looking into other places, you know, within the UK, places that they may not have heard of. I'm you know, we're well aware some people may not have heard of Norwich, but once people see it and once people come to visit, it definitely kind of captures a lot of things that, you know, US students may be looking for.
Great. And I guess, and as you said there in that last bit, that kind of very stereotypical English environment, Norwich has a castle, it has a cathedral, it has sort of beautiful old buildings, plus all the English countryside, that might be more appealing than maybe what people may think a big city is going to be like, but potentially actually they're going to see a lot of concrete.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I said, our city is sorry, our campus is in the city centre, so you do get that city urban kind of landscape, but also we're very, very close to the coast, and very kind of beautiful architecture buildings and all kinds of things. So, all that other stuff that goes alongside with studying at university, alongside the course, you really get a great experience when you find that kind of city that really represents what you're looking for. And that Norwich in particular, really does have a mixture of that kind of modern and more kind of medieval architecture, which a lot of people do appreciate, when they come to visit or when they end up kind of living there as I do.
Yeah, people are gathering. It is a part of the world that's very close to my heart. I have lots of family who live around and in Norwich and wider Norfolk, so I'll have to kind of take that prejudice aside. If we can sort of look at the kind of experience then of a student maybe coming to an art school in terms of the academics, one of the things I know sometimes a little confusing for international advisors is the idea of the art foundation as a route into an art degree in the UK. A lot of people might be familiar with foundation for students who maybe want to study a non-art subject like business or engineering, and either they don't have the English or they don't have the grades and they need to go and do a foundation first. In the creative subjects, particularly in the case of art and design, the foundation is a different kind of route, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And we at NUA, we kind of mainly do a 3-year program, and generally a lot of students do come directly into the 3-year course. And what that gives them is the opportunity to kind of get going straight away without having to. I guess it's different from the US system in that they don't have to do any more maths or general studies or anything like that. They can really just get straight into what they want to do, and it's ideal for students who know what subject they want to do, know what career they kind of might have in mind, and can really just get going with that. We do have a 4-year option as well, and that's really for students who maybe have not had the opportunity to really kind of finesse those skills that they might need to go directly into the 3-year program. So that is, it's more of a specialist kind of subject because you are still doing, for example, if you choose to do animation, you're going to be doing animation modules already even in the foundation program. But obviously speaking more generally in terms of like UK foundations, there are kind of more general art and design foundations, which is ideal for students who maybe don't have an exact, they don't know exactly what they want to do. They know they really like to draw, or they know they really like to create, but they haven't decided exactly which kind of discipline they want to go in. And I think that those art and design foundations in the UK are really a good opportunity for them to kind of explore different areas before they then, commit to a 3-year option.
So, Ryan, one of the issues I know sometimes students who apply into three or four different countries might face is that different art schools are going to want to see different things in the portfolio, whether that be development, whether that be different skills, whether that be kind of a coherency of an entire story. In the example of NUA and perhaps more widely in the UK, what are you looking for in a portfolio that's presented with an application?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are looking for, generally, we want to see what your creative ideas are. So we don't have a really kind of restrictive, specific way that we want you to present your portfolio. This is your opportunity to tell us more about yourself. So we do have some guidelines and some general things that we'd be looking for. But essentially, we try to leave it as kind of open as possible. But we're not prescriptive about the content. So we don't specifically ask for like life drawing or still life. I know maybe some US universities may have more kind of specific requirements. But essentially, the main things that we'd be looking for would be development of ideas. So showing us not just kind of final projects, but how you got there and how that project has kind of taken life. Where did it start, and what were the end outcomes? We are looking for technical ability. So any opportunity to show us different processes that you've tried out, is going to be really important. And also influences and research, because this is the courses that we offer, they're very, very practical, but there are still going to be theoretical application and lots of research as well. So any kind of way you can tie back to how this project was born through influences and research. Generally we ask for about 20 to 30 pieces, but I appreciate that might be particular to our university. And then we have a few other requirements. If you're doing, we have a new acting program, for example, so we would ask for two monologue submissions. We also have a film program where we would ask for a short film, or if you're not able to submit a short film, then six still images or a script as well, to show us a bit of your script writing. So that's kind of the general things that we're looking for. I would recommend, if people are thinking about applying to any university, really, to have a look on their, their websites will probably give more specific advice. So, ours does go into a bit more detail on each course, on each course page, about maybe particular things that you could think about including within each course, basically.
Great. So that's brilliant guidance. So students shouldn't just assume because our program wants this kind of portfolio that everyone is going to. I guess they should be sort of looking at all the courses they're looking at, make a list of all the different requirements, and come up with something that meets all those different requirements.
Absolutely. And it's not, it's not easy, because if everybody has slightly different idea, but as you said, if you made a list and then just you could probably tweak it for each submission, then that would be really, really great. It just shows that you are committed to applying to that university, rather than just making one generic portfolio and just kind of submitting it out to all universities, even though it doesn't adhere to the requirements that they've asked for.
Yeah, because I guess, particularly in a specialist art school and one that's maybe on the smaller side like NUA, as well as skill, you are also looking for fit, because you'll know, a student coming into a particular program, you'll know who's going to be teaching them over the course of the degree. You want to make sure, I guess, they've got the right skill set and the right motivation that's going to enable them to thrive within your particular program.
Yeah, that's such a good point, because a lot of our courses are very collaborative. I'm thinking particularly of courses like our film program. We do need to see that people are able to work in groups. That is essentially what you're going to be doing on the film course. You are going to be from day one collaborating with other people. So it is important that we can see and you can demonstrate that you can work with other people. So if there's any opportunities within the portfolio to show that, any projects that you've done with other people and how that works, that's really important. For NUA, we do interview everybody, and that is the opportunity for us to see the fit of the person, and see if they will, they will work within the university. But yeah, collaboration is such an important part of the course that it's a really vital part of the application process to kind of work out, how they will fit within the university.
Great. And I guess leading on from that, then the question occurs to me is, the UK obviously has many, many comprehensive universities where they might have a School of Art, they might have some fine art programs in there. And a lot of students might be attracted to those as kind of being those big sort of well-known universities. For smaller art schools, which maybe like NUA within the UK have a great reputation, but it's hard. And I know you and your colleagues do an awesome job trying to get out around the world to explain it. But why would a student say, I'm not going to go to a university with 10,000, 15,000 students with kids doing engineering and chemistry and history. I just want that art school. Is that collaboration element the really key difference?
I think so. I mean, obviously, if that's what they're looking for, then, absolutely that is what they should do. But I think that we find that when I'm on the road, we tend to find those students who are looking for that different kind of experience, maybe that kind of smaller class sizes, more kind of interaction with lecturers and with tutors and things like that. I think, you know, going back to what I said before about the city, really, it's the opportunity to kind of have that space and that time, have that collaboration with other students. And I think that that's what people really appreciate. We obviously work a lot with industry as well, and I think those connections are really important. So that's somewhere where, you know, we may not internationally be incredibly well known, but I know within certain courses, certainly within the UK, we're very, you know, well respected, and so industry do actually come to us and look for graduates or look to work on collaborative projects. They actually come in and do guest lectures and things like that. So those kind of things are, you know, are really important. And I think people that are kind of willing to, I guess, scratch beneath the surface a little bit and figure out exactly what is it that they're looking for. Do they want to get that really specific experience in a particular area? And I think that's what they'll get if they decide to, you know, study at a specialist university rather than, I guess, more of a multi-faculty, traditional kind of looking campus from what you'd think of as a maybe UK university.
Yeah. So for those counsellors listening on who maybe go, well, that sounds great, but how on earth do I find out where these places are, what they are, where's good, where's not so good? How do I give my students a resource? Where would a student start saying, OK, right, yeah, I like the sound of this. I want a specialist art school in the UK. Where can they go to find out more about them?
So one resource that I would really suggest is Creative Skillset, which is a website that has, you can actually look for lots of different, firstly, I think it's helpful to figuring out lots of different degrees, careers that are available within the industry. So if you know that you're interested in illustration, for example, you can go on there and look at all the different kind of different careers that might be associated with that course, which is really helpful. And then it also gives you ideas of different universities, UK universities that have been kind of creative skill set approved. And we have a few courses that we offer that have been creative skill set approved, which basically means that industry have kind of given us their tick to say that we are creating graduates that they value within the industry. So that's a really good resource. Obviously there are the usual suspects in terms of looking on UCAS. I guess you can use the search function to drill down into exactly what you might be looking for. Obviously, you know, lots of reps from student specialist universities like myself do travel as well. So checking individual websites, finding out if they're going to be attending any of the big kind of college fairs and things like that, and coming to speak to us is kind of the best way to find out more, really.
Great. Well, that Creative Skillset website, I'll make sure I get the link into the notes so people can have a look at that. I wanted to have a look at, think about the sort of international student experience. I have your international account on my Instagram. It's one of those ones where every day there's something which, you know, you go to an Instagram story and you think, oh gosh, I've learned something from looking at that. They're obviously, for an arts university, are very well done. They're very creative. They're very interesting to look at. But it's kind of a testament to actually what a strong experience international students are having at the university. So for someone who might be coming from, you know, halfway around the world, who's never experienced the UK, what is that international experience like being a student at an art school like anyway?
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's a great experience. I mean, that's kind of the feedback that we get. So I guess that's positive. I think what they get is, you know, we're not a huge university. We have over 2,000 students, and about 10% of those will be international. And that's probably about 60 different nationalities. So it is a very, very diverse experience. If English isn't your first language, you certainly have to, your English will definitely improve, because we always say it's kind of a very British learning experience. There's no one dominant nationality. So it does mean that the international community becomes a very, very diverse place. And that's obviously, hugely interesting for a student coming from a different country to kind of experience that. The close links with Europe as well is something that we get a lot of feedback about, and why students wanted to come to us, because they can obviously get a great kind of course experience and learning experience, but then also the opportunity to travel and see other places, see other things, is kind of a really, really good thing. So I think, for me, part of my job as well as being kind of a recruiter is I deal with all the international admissions. So I'm very hands-on, and I kind of speak to these students a lot before they even arrive. And then one thing that we do at the beginning of the year is an international arrivals lounge, which is kind of a week-long worth of activities to kind of get students to get to know each other, to give them some information, some practical information that they might need before they start. And that's really a brilliant opportunity for students to kind of start off on the right foot, feeling like they have some friends from their housing or from the international community, and that really goes on. We also have an international society as well, so it's just a continuation of people collaborating, getting to know each other, learning from each other, learning about different cultures, and it's really brilliant to see. It's one of the best parts of my job for sure, is kind of seeing these students arrive and how they kind of flourish and become even more awesome. So it's great.
Awesome. I'm so good to hear that and to see what you guys are doing. And I guess again, you're emphasizing the benefits of a smaller kind of specialized institution, and in a city where you're able to kind of again curate that initial experience for students. For people listening on, again, I'll put the Instagram account in the notes. It really is a really high quality account, and genuinely something that enables me to counsel students and learn better about art schools all over the UK. Rhian, last question, which is the one that regular listeners will know I always try to ask, is what is the thing that hasn't occurred to me to ask? What is that any other business that you would want to get across to the listeners?
Oh my goodness. I think something I find, and I assume you have a lot of listeners, US counsellors and things like that, is I the feedback I get from people when I'm travelling is, oh God, it's so complicated. It must be so complicated to apply to the UK, and they can't wrap their heads around it. And obviously, I completely understand that, because me trying to get my head around the US system is, it's just different, isn't it? And I think what I would really, encourage people to, I guess, to understand is it's not that difficult. Once you get your head around it, it'll be absolutely fine. And obviously you've got great people like like David, who can help you with how to kind of figure all of that out. There's a huge amount of resources available. You obviously have connections with other reps and things like that. So it's it takes a bit of time to, I guess, to understand. It's a completely new system. But it is possible, and just need to ask the right questions, and people are always willing to help, so just reach out if you have any questions, basically.
Great stuff, fantastic. Yeah, I would say that a student applying from the UK to the US is always surprised by the complexity, and a student applying from the US to the UK is surprised by the simplicity. I think the student applying to the UK from the US is expecting there to be a lot more things to do, and can be surprised at actually how streamlined a process it can be. So yes, definitely I and indeed other counsellors around the world are very happy to help out. My top tip for counsellors from my day when I was a high school counsellor was always to if you are not maybe like me, I say artistically challenged might be a fair description for me, to always have that meeting with your student, with that student's art and design teacher as well, because you can focus on the process and they can focus on the skill-based elements. And I'm sure that's something that Rhian and colleagues at the universities, when you go into schools, are very happy to also to have a look at a portfolio, to sit down with the counsellors, talk a student through that process.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we do quite a bit. Portfolio reviews and mock interviews and things like that. So it's definitely something that you could set up, and it helps the student feel at ease and the counsellor, and yeah, getting the art teacher involved, absolutely, that would be brilliant. Yeah.
Great stuff. So if people want to find out more about NUA, if they want to contact you, if they're interested in when we're allowed to do such things again in the future, he says we're calling this in May 2020, how do people get hold of you and where does the university exist online?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is www.nua.ac.uk. So you'll find all kinds of things on there. If you want to contact me, my email is international@nua.ac.uk, and please get in touch. I'm happy to speak with you. And as you said, our Instagram as well. So give that another little plug. We have our general Instagram, which is Norwich Uni Arts, and then our NUA International specific one, which is NUA International.
Great stuff, Ian. Thank you so much. Loads of information there. I feel I've learned a lot as well. Maybe I want to go back sort of 25 years and start to pay attention in art class because everything you describe sounds really exciting.
It's never too late.
Thanks to Rianne for giving that great overview of NUA and also of UK art schools. I hope you do get in touch and use some of the resources that she's described if you or your students are looking at this route. That's it for this episode of the University Guide podcast. Please do leave a review if you listen on iTunes. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, or indeed the University Guides on Facebook and get in touch if we can help in any way. The next episode coming soon will be focusing on what actually is the UK student experience going to look like this autumn, given all the transitions and difficulties with COVID-19. My guest is Kieran Broadhead from the University of Southampton, so please do watch out for that episode coming very soon. Thanks again for listening. Stay well.